This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, eat like the president. Hello.
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 Dugga 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 dugga. Challenge.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Challenge.
Max is in a good mood. I can't imagine why.
What's this? I'm about to ruin my day.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What is this, Merlin? Explain the challenge. What is this noise?
The challenge is that I already have a wobbly tummy this morning. And I probably should have had 3 Imodium just to prep. But this is going to be a scene, man.
What is it, like 3,500 calories of McDonald's in the next hour? We got this.
The challenge. Whose challenge is this?
It's yours. Mm-hmm. It's your challenge.
Which one am I?
You're Merlin.
Hello.
Well, you're kind of the Scott of this podcast, though.
The Scott? You think I'm the Scott?
Yeah, I'm definitely the Merlin, and Alex is definitely the Adam, so it's kind of a...
Okay, I know that show. The challenge this week, which I guess is mine, I must have been in a fugue state. The challenge this week is to do some personal recognizance on a reported story about what the current inhabitant of the White House eats.
Eat like the president!
Eat like the president!
Oh,
and
very
excited. I mean, like, when you hear it, I mean, I've gone through a lot of waves of feelings about this challenge, because at first you're like, wow, that's... I've never eaten...
Here comes the first Big Mac.
Oh, already!
Oh, yeah. Oh wait, no. My gosh, we haven't even... Okay,
here's
all
the
right.
Second Big Mac. What do we got here? Oh, I got a fries too. That's not technically in the president's order.
Well, you need
order,
a treat.
But...
I got a treat on mine too. I got a quarter pounder and fries because that's what I actually want.
What a tiny treat!
I mean, what are you going to go to McDonald's and not get a fries?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I'm willing to suffer. I mean, I'm willing to suffer only so much for this man.
The story that has been reported in, I believe, the Corey Lewandowski book. The story is that the president is a garbage person who eats garbage. And that his go-to order from McDonald's consists of 2 Big Macs, 2 filet of fish, and a medium chocolate shake. And the challenge for this week was to acquire this from McDonald's
and try to eat it.
Oh,
wait, a medium chocolate shake? Fuck.
Yes, I've also got the chocolate shake here.
Oh, I need to adjust my order.
And now that costs $16.77 for McDonald's. That's the most money I've ever personally spent at a McDonald's.
I spent $45.26. I'm going to expense it.
How is that even possible?
Well, it's DoorDash.
Which
I like. I like the DoorDash service.
I dash myself to the McDonald's to get the McDonald's.
I don't drive. 1 quarter pounder with cheese with fries because that's daddy's treat. Then I
get
2
Big Macs.
You
took away your license after your holiday party.
That's not funny. Drunk driving is not funny, kids.
I was going 116 in a 20-mile-per-hour zone. The 2 Big Macs cost $10.22 before expenses.
Oh.
Filet of fish, 2 filet of fish. A filet of fish is $8. So 2 filet of fish.
My filet of fish is $5.
Well, you know, it's the gig economy. Anyway, that's all coming. And Timothy T is, I'm doing my live real-time update. It's in progress. Oh, my God, I hope he's not coming from too far away. Because the only thing that could make this worse is that it's really cold and gross.
They never
shut the bag. I hate that. I hate that they don't close the bag.
One
I know
little
I said
fold.
This
Give it one little fold. It keeps the heat right in there.
Quality service value. You always do two turns at the top of the bag. Otherwise, that heat's just escaping. It's like not putting a hat on.
Now, what do you think the right strategy is here in terms of
eating?
Okay, well,
let's put ourselves in his head, maybe. How do you think? I imagine he tears into. So he probably takes a couple hits off the shake. Don't you think?
I don't know if he starts with a shake.
I bet he starts with a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you were doing it like a progressive dinner or like a bourbon tasting, you'd start. I mean, a gourmand, a more learned trencherman would probably start with that delicious filet of fish, which I made so many of at McDonald's and never ate. The only person I ever knew who ordered a filet of fish was my late grandmother. It was really an afterthought at McDonald's.
Well, that's the thing is, though, their sales spike every year during Lent. This is a real thing.
Is that true? Is that it turns out?
No. Okay, I have been to Hamburger University and
sorry, my bad.
Asked this specific question. If you happen to work at McDonald's or are a graduate of Hamburger University, please let us know.
But What I'm thinking about is there some sort of strategy in terms of, do I attack these?
Like simultaneously, a bite of each?
Right.
Are you supposed to finish one before you start another?
Because you know what they say is, fish before a burgle, you're going to hurl.
Oh, I see, I see.
But burger before fish, now that's a dish.
Fish before Mac, that's a kick in the sack. Mac before fish, holy shit, you better wish.
I've been kind of sipping on this chocolate milkshake. I don't think I've ever had a chocolate milkshake from McDonald's in my entire life. It's a very good chocolate milkshake.
It's not bad, yeah.
It's a really good chocolate milkshake.
It's part of the McCafe family of products now.
Yeah. Now, what I saw in the news report was what Corey Lewandowski said the president did is he gets a chocolate malted, which is not an item
that's
on the McDonald's
menu. That's a totally
menu.
Different thing. There's no such thing as a malted at McDonald's.
But now that I'm drinking the chocolate milkshake from McDonald's, it does have a little bit of a malted flavor to it, although they don't advertise it that way. I think it's just a good milkshake. It is a really good – it's a great milkshake.
A good editor would have caught that, though. And I have to imagine Corey Lewandowski has an excellent editor. I just have to imagine.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off here. Give me the play-by-play, Max. What is it that you're shoving into your gaping maw?
Well, I'm eating the fries. I mean, I'm starting with the fries.
Oh, you're starting with the treat. Okay.
I'm having the fries. I'm having the fries and a chocolate milkshake. Hang on. Let me hold it all.
So you're barely into the challenge.
Oh, I haven't even opened these boxes yet.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just thinking now.
Look at this volume of food. Oh,
really dreading
really
this.
Really bad. Hold on.
So it's what did I put in the chat? It's like 3,000 calories.
Yeah, it seems to be, I think it's like 3,500.
3,500 calories.
Now I have a new theory, though.
Now, the president
though.
Doesn't eat the bread.
Wait.
You don't think?
No, you didn't see this? Hang on. All right. God damn it. I don't have my laptop or anything this week. All right, hang on. What do I never search for?
This is more than I would eat on four trips to McDonald's.
Trump McDonald's bread. Let's see. There was a follow-up. Here we go.
Because in last week, just to be clear, last week we did a little mental calculation. We did some what they call arithmetic on this. And if he did eat all of this food, and who knows, he might be like my kid. He might pick off certain parts. But if he ate everything that was on his royal plate, he would be having 10 pieces of bread.
Yes. Now, here's what CNN says. Former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski wrote about it in his book about the campaign, saying Trump would order two Big Macs, two fillets of fish, sandwiches, and a chocolate milkshake. Basically, the little spread, the smorgasbord that I've assembled for myself this morning. And then, quote, well, he never ate the bread, which is the important part, Lewandowski told CNN's Allison Camerota. Quote, he was busy campaigning. We didn't have time to sit down for a meal. Now, here's the part that doesn't check out about that, which is, if Trump, I'm with you. Trump's busy. He's on the run. He's got to move. He's moving. He's in motion. He's in the car. He's on Air Force One. He doesn't have a lot of time. He's got to go, go, go. Now, if you are down to the second and you're like, what is the fastest way for me to eat this thing? Are you going to try and eat a burger on a bun or a burger not on a bun? Based on what gets it into your mouth.
You're saying it takes
fastest.
Extra time to deconstruct it.
I mean, what do you have? Like a handful of like special sauce and lettuce and you're trying to get it into your gaping maw? Does he eat it with a fork and knife? Like, let me read this Lewandowski quote again. He says, quote, well, he never ate the bread, which is the important part. What do you mean that's the important part? How could that be the important part? What does that mean? He was busy campaigning. We didn't have time to sit down for a meal.
Huh.
What does that I don't understand that. You have to eat it with a fork and a knife if there's no bread.
Well, what if it was during the commercials of Fox and Friends, because was pre-White House when he didn't have a Super TiVo, and that's the only thing I can think
of. There's no conceivable way that I can eat this much food. I'm staring at the first Big Mac.
Mine's not going to arrive for another half hour, and I'm already nauseated.
I mean, this is it's not possible. Like, I don't know that it's a big hamburger with a lot of bread.
But I mean, like, just I really there's so much. People say don't normalize Donald Trump, and I tend to agree. We need to really sit on the fact that this is not something he did one time when he was drunk. What we are describing here is a typical order for a 70-year-old man to eat. I just want to really sit on that fact for a minute. He's 70 years old, and there's never a point when he goes, oh, you know what, actually, I think I'm good with just the two Big Macs and one filet of fish today.
That's the thing that baffles me is I know some people that eat McDonald's every single day. And if this was split up into separate meals, then it's like, okay, it's still appalling, but it makes a little bit more sense. This is just one meal during the day.
Oh my God. Okay, real-time follow-up. Timothy T is on the way.
Some of this bread is coming off the Big Mac already.
Oh,
it's too bready. It's too bready.
Well, this was my go-to when I was trying to do something like Atkins when I was working downtown. My go-to, it's been well documented. I'm a man who is not uncomfortable eating a sandwich over a sewer. I think we've covered this.
Wait.
You never heard that story?
No.
Oh. Well, I am not above buying a bunch of Subway sandwiches for the group and then eating them if nobody else wants them. And in one case,
I see.
I did do this over an open sewer in front of Jonathan Colton, but I digress. What I would do is I go in there and I would get me a double quarter pounder with cheese. This is so disgusting to imagine this. And standing by the Montgomery Street Station, I would throw away the bun and I would hold the two condiment slathered beef discs and eat it like that, basically over a garbage can. Because I was
Merlin, you're a busy man campaigning.
I'm busy project manager on the go. I was campaigning.
No, all this bread's coming off.
Oh God,
I can't do this.
This is the thing, though. This is the point of the challenge. Now, wait a minute. Hang on. Peanut butter, Alexandra. What are you eating?
It's on the way, but I'm having a disagreement.
Alex is having her first Diet Coke of the day of the 12 Diet Cokes that we're all going to have today.
Wow. Great challenge. Thanks, Alex. Really kicking it up a notch. Getting in a different container than usual.
I'm having some issues with my Uber Eats order, which is the only place I could order McDonald's from, and he's like, change the address in the app. I'm like, the app tells me to change the address with you. And so,
you know, Alex, I'm going to file a complaint here.
Because
not 10 minutes ago, I texted you and I said, I'm at the McDonald's. Do you want me to get your order or do you have some other plans?
I had already ordered at that point. And also, the president gets his food delivered to him.
What are you talking about? I was delivering it to you.
That's fair.
But number two, you know, the amount of food that I ordered was really embarrassing. Because I do think it's an amount of food where when I went through the two windows that they looked at me and they sized me up. And I think when I ordered at the window, they probably thought, there's a bunch of children in this car.
Oh,
there's a party.
Oh, God.
Or one 70-year-old man.
it's like a van from a retirement home or something, and they're ordering as a group.
You know what you got to do? You got to play it off legit. You go, just give me a minute. Let me check. Let's see.
Yeah.
How about, can I get... let's see, one Big Mac, and can I get a, a filet of fish, and another, did you want a Big Mac? Another Big Mac, and let me get a medium chocolate shake, and...
Keep it down back there, I can't order.
Turn down Fox and Friends.
So, here's the deal. Get Don Lemon off this TV. but here's the deal.
Fake news. He learned that people think he watches too much TV from watching TV.
And tweeted about it during a Fox and Friends segment about how much he watches TV.
Because he doesn't read the New York Times.
So here's the situation. So the lady who operates the robot, she's the same lady who takes my credit card. And I know that she was expecting a minivan full of six-year-olds to pull up to that window. And that did not occur. What happened was like a sad 30-year-old man who was really stressed out, like pulled up in his rental car.
Fancy electric car. Require four sandwiches.
And looked me up and down. And I could see the surprise on her face of I'm not doing well with this Big Mac. One Big Mac in. I'm not doing well. She looked me up and down, and she's like, whoa, I was expecting more here. And then I got the same thing when I went to get the bags. She was handing me multiple bags of food, and she kind of craned her neck out and like looked into the car, and she was like, oh, it's empty back there.
Oh.
So here's the deal. They definitely thought that amount of food was all for me, but had I gotten food for Alex, if I showed up and gotten four Big Macs and four Filet-O-Fishes, I'm sorry, I'm dying. I think my body is revolting.
Oh no! And you're only part of a sandwich in.
I'm like Well, I'm like one Big Mac in minus the buns. I think that had I gotten Alex's four Big Macs and four Filet-O-Fishes, then they would have been like, no, he's just a nice friend and he's getting
this
food for the whole office.
That could have been.
No. No one would think I was eating eight sandwiches. Four, they're like, this is a highly obese man. This is one sad fat man. Four sandwiches
Shall
is the
I
amount of...
Shall I drive around to the first window?
Yeah. Give me four filet.
When you
give
get
me
that, the fat guy voice.
They need four filet of fishes. They're all for me. Don't bother packing any extra utensils. It's just one sad fat man who's going to be eating all of this food.
First question.
I'm going to start by having some of the milkshake on the way home.
How is the fish prepared?
Then I'm going to begin by methodically peeling the bun off of one Big Mac and trying to get that down while the fillets of fish are still hot.
Just break. Anything else? Anything else?
Well, here, Alex. Let me proffer an offer here. Take one of these sandwiches.
Here's the deal.
Then you trade me back when yours come. Because you're right. Mm. These are just getting cold.
But that's the point. You need to experience it as
the president
as
doesn't
would.
Do Uber Eats. He doesn't know any app on his phone except for Twitter.
But you have on his plane. His Big Macs are going to get cold. Maybe that's why he takes off the bread. He doesn't want the sogginess. Mm. Why am I trying to rationalize this?
Because it breaks your brain. It breaks your brain to think about anybody choosing to do this more than once. I'm not against being a glutton. I will get all of the steak. I will eat the large, large steak. This particular, a man who has access to pretty much anything he wants, this is what he chooses.
What is this a normal Filet-O-Fish?
I am going to assume that that's tartar sauce.
I've never ordered this before.
On top of
it's a square. I don't know why that's so upsetting to me. And it has American cheese on it?
Oh.
What shape is the fish? How is it dressed? Is it a soft bun? Is it a soft bun, lightly warm?
Oh, boy. It's like a... Oh. Oh, this
God, I'm getting excited. Timothy T is really close. I'm watching his progress on the map.
I mean,
Timothy T,
have you ever had a Filet-O-Fish, Merlin?
Yes. Yeah, I have. Well, you got to remember, gather around, chillins. I worked at McDonald's in a different age, during the age of Live Aid. And so Filet-O-Fish were very much like an afterthought. The burgers, it was a franchise, not a corporate McDonald's, so it was not a good McDonald's. We did not have a lot of really high-quality stuff, especially when it wasn't super busy. Because I think as we've stipulated from the beginning of all of our shows, McDonald's is great when it's really, really fresh. And like, you know, any corporate McDonald's that's busy has pretty good food as fast food goes. But these would sit in this little, like, we had these little drawers of pain that like the nuggets lived in. You'd make the nuggets and then put them in the warmer drawer. Mm. And
they
then
spray them with that lighter fluid.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. And that keeps the crispness in. It seals it in. Holy shit, he's so close. I can see him right now. He's coming up the street.
I don't know why you're so excited. He's not, like, having an orgasm. You're acting as if you are making this happen.
I did. I said, Timothy T, please dash me. Oh, God, he's so close. He's coming up. Okay, I'll leave the mic on, but I got to go deal with Timothy. You guys talk for a minute.
Saul C is meeting me. Max, at what point do you think you're going to start, like, breaking out into a sweat?
I feel very bad right now. I feel slow. I feel bad.
This is
I just feel
great
slow.
Comedy
like
content.
I don't want to keep eating. The amount of food that's in front of me is it's bad. It's a bad amount of food.
Oh god.
And yet I have to keep eating it because that's the challenge.
I like how you're willing to do this but not get a flu shot.
I was sick. I was really sick.
Well, that's why you should have gotten a flu shot.
Oh, I'm like getting congested, which is just like I've just like eaten too much. My whole head feels very full and heavy. It's like hard to keep my head up. I'm crashing. I'm not going to get through this. I just had the fish from the filet of fish. Look at this. Look at the leavings.
You had a lot of. I'm surprised at how much sauce you consumed off of that. Like, you didn't wipe any of that off.
Well, that's the best part. That's the only part with any flavor.
That's why you're congested. You just ate a ton of cream and some chocolate.
I feel my blood feels very thick.
You need to get a boy.
I feel like I feel flu-y. I feel like I'm getting sick from eating this food. I ate it quickly, too.
Chris, can you hear us in here? Okay, how much would it cost, how much would your rate go up if we just took some of your blood? Like, just a pint.
Oh, you think Chris is our, producer Chris could be our blood boy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's sitting right there. I think I hear Merlin coming.
I hear a little something on Merlin's line.
Is he really enjoying his conversation with Timothy T that much?
I don't know. It's going on for quite a while.
How's Timothy?
Very confused.
Why? What was confusing?
Well, for some reason, sometimes these delivery services.
Did you show him your kombucha bottles from March?
No.
They're mostly empty. The one I'm worried about is the one that's still in the fridge from back then, because mm-hmm. It's a living beverage.
Rejoice.
Okay. Oh, shit, dog.
How many bags did you get?
I got a very large grocery bag. This needs to be microwaved. I want my food piping hot. I don't need this mini ketchup. It's only one person. This is very, very normative. I'm going to heat this up a little bit.
Can you hear me while you're heating it up, or do you have to go somewhere else?
No, I'm right here.
Okay. So chicken nuggets, the most alarming ingredient in a chicken McNugget is, it's called tertiary butyl hydroquinone.
That sounds a lot like lighter fluid.
Or TBHQ, which is derived from petroleum that is either sprayed directly on the nugget or the inside of the box it comes in to, quote, help preserve freshness. According to a consumer's dictionary of food additives, TBHQ is a form of butane, i.e. lighter fluid. The FDA allows processors to use sparingly in our food. It can comprise no more than 0.02% of the oil in a nugget, which is, hang on, someone's calling me, which is probably just as well, considering that ingesting a single gram of TBHQ can cause nausea, vomiting, ringing in the ears, delirium, a sense of suffocation, and collapse. Ingesting 5 grams of TBHQ can kill.
That can't be right. So how many
I read it on a website. It says right here on this website.
R.I.P. Snopes.
So 0.02, you would have half a gram if you had 25 nuggets.
Yeah, but they sell 20-piece nuggets, which...
Right.
Okay.
But that's probably 20-piece nuggets is probably over the serving size for one person.
I like to put my fries in the
bag.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's stopping people.
If you ate 200 to 300 nuggets in a single sitting, it could kill you. I feel very bad.
Big Mac.
This was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, there's so much special sauce and bread. Oh, goodness. Oh, the lettuce. Oh.
I feel like I'm sort of standing in a wave pool. Like, it's kind of, you know. You kind of get that buoyant,
Chris,
rocking
could
feeling.
Oh, Chris, please bring in my McDonald's?
Save. This is way better than I remember.
What are you having right now?
Big Mac.
Right now we have our producer and engineer Chris and my boss Trent Garitano.
It's got a lot of sauce.
Are you doing this to yourselves?
We thought it would be funny.
That's really the only reason I would accept.
It required two people to bring it
up. Why do you have this much Diet Coke? This is a Alex, what is that?
I don't know.
What is that? What is that?
Wait.
What did they bring you?
Hold on. Was this from something? Something terrible has happened here. Okay, we got my two.
I'm not gonna eat. Do you want a filet of fish?
No.
Do you want an unsullied Big Mac?
This is the worst episode we've ever done. What the? What is that, Alex? What is that?
I think I know what happened. I put in an order through Uber Eats, did not cancel it. I thought I canceled it, but I've just received an order from Uber Eats and Postmates, so now I have...
Oh, you got to eat all that.
And
you got
to
eat all of that.
It was one of those things where it was cheaper to order a meal instead of just
Alex,
the individual
you have to
foods.
Order all of that.
So, here, okay.
You have to eat all of this.
Eat it all.
This, Merlin, I have to send
what do you dare me to put my Filet-O-Fish
so
on?
Alex, you're doing like a mukbang challenge of Dubai Friday. You've really taken this to the next level. I admire your commitment. And also your steadfast refusal to let any food go to waste.
It's so bad.
I'm gonna have
oh, thank God I don't have to edit this episode.
I am loving these new Mac Pros, guys.
Alex's
MacBook
computer
Pros.
Crashed. I think it was trying to like take the bullet for her.
Oh,
it saw the camera, some sort of AI algorithm saw the amount of McDonald's on the table and was like, "Alex, don't end your life like this. Like, let me shut down to distract you."
I will permit you to die.
I finished my Big Mac and I'm halfway through my Filet-O-Fish.
Now, are you eating these bun on?
So far, yeah. I was thinking, though, for the next one, for the second Big Mac and fish, I'm thinking I'll put the Filet-O-Fish onto the Big Mac.
Oh, a McGangbang.
Oh, God.
That's what the kids call it. Now,
pulling the McDonald's train.
Wow, mm-hmm. This is a very good chocolate shake.
Now I'm kind of logy from eating all this food. I feel very bad. You guys ready to make some decisions about the future of the free world and review a bunch of documents in rapid succession?
Oh, yeah. Busy day of campaigning.
He has a lot of documents.
No time for TV.
You should do a huge bump of Coke and go on stage.
So,
Hillary.
Did they still call it 10-1 meat, Alex?
I don't. What does that mean?
What does 10-1 mean?
Well, you're the one who's showing off your fancy fucking degree. When I worked at McDonald's, they called these patties 10-1 because they're 1/10 of a pound, and they would.
Oh,
they would
I
always
see. No, I don't have that information from Hamburger University. I did not go. I went there, and that I visited.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah,
they
go to Harvard shirt.
Yeah, they did. They gave me a McDonald's shirt.
a thing to know is that I think this is still the case. And in the classic days, you had. The fanciest, nicest thing they had before the McDLT was the quarter pounder. And one of the things that distinguished the quarter pounder, it didn't have that yucky shredded lettuce, but it did have quote-unquote fresh sliced onions. The onion on a 10-1 burger is basically you get these dried onions in an envelope, and then you put them in a big thing of water, and then you put your hands into them all day. That's the onions you got on this one right here. Also, these pickles are touching. That would not pass muster at a true corporate McDonald's.
You did not work at a corporate McDonald's, correct?
I worked. No, I knew what we were doing wrong, and that's really the important part in life. Okay, I got my second Big Mac here. The Filet-O-Fish I would call somewhat uneventful. It's fine. I can see why my grandmother ate it, usually while smoking. It might have made it better, but okay, going into the second Big Mac.
So I came across last night. I was on Twitter until very late, refreshing my political Twitter list, watching the Alabama election results come in. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
I really did not predict that. I really was braced. I really had hardened my heart. I was ready for the upsetting, loss. I actually thought we'd get killed. I thought
Moore was going to win and win big, and I was
yeah.
I was 90%
I thought it was going to I thought it was going to be like we'd lose by 10 points kind of a thing and whatever. And I'm almost a little bit troubled by some of the news today because now there's a lot of pushback of people saying, oh, the Democrats don't need to do anything different and, we shouldn't change anything. And, it's like, we're back, baby. Like, we just need to, ride this thing out. And, it's all going to be, Mueller and we're going to win elections from now on. And, I actually don't think that's the case. I think if the guy wasn't a pedophile, we would have lost. But
everybody's got a hot take on how it proves whatever their POV is.
Right. But my POV is that the party's pretty fucked up, and we don't really have a good offer to make to the voters. We don't really have a good program to reach voters with that kind of they can imagine affecting their lives. And there's kind of a lack of imagination on our side, which is why we nearly lost to a pedophile. We shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back that hard for coming that close to losing the election to a pedophile. But all that aside, I was on Twitter last night and I was reading all, you know, when you're on Twitter and it's like, do you guys ever have a band that you listen to and you've listened to all the songs on all the albums and then you start to get into the B-sides and the live recordings and then and at some point you're like feeling around for the crumbs in the bottom of the Big Mac box and you're like, there's no more crumbs for me to eat from this meal or this band. That's what I was doing with political news last night. Like, I was eating
the
sad, upsetting crumbs.
I moved on to the quarter pounder, by the way.
No, don't. That's not even part of the challenge.
I know. I don't know if I went to the Filet Flesh. Go ahead. I got stuff to say about what you're saying, too, though, but continue. So you're eating bad crumbs.
But I invented a new... I just found really compelling evidence that we're living inside of, like, a William Gibson cyberpunk novel. But it requires me to read, like, 5 news stories. So before I start going down my conspiracy theory rabbit hole... I'll give you a chance to respond.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna stop eating on air because people don't like that.
Oh, really?
Okay. So there are 2 podcasts I never thought I would listen to, and I love both of them now. One of them is My Bim Bam, and the other one is Chapo Trap House. There's a lot to enjoy about Chapo Trap House.
Merlin, who how'd you find out about those podcasts? That's so cool that
the
you
guy
have
who
two
wins.
Po- That's so cool that you have 2 podcasts that you really like that you got into this year.
Someone who really fought for it. I'm almost done with my quarter pounder.
Wait, you just started it.
I know. I'm a fast eater. President's a fast eater too. They beg him. They beg him to slow down. Last about a quarter pounder. Done.
Okay. Oh my god.
So I don't.
Oh my god.
Okay. I've had 2 Big Macs and a quarter pounder with cheese. Now the nihilism, the raw nihilism. I now understand why you're the way you are in some ways, Max. I know you're basically a broken person, but listening to this program, I think, has helped make you more broken. And to be candid, it's making me a little bit more broken. And I don't want to talk about this publicly. I would only discuss this on a podcast that not many people listen to, which is to say that, holy shit, you know, we're struggling so hard to find some kind of victory in the progressive movement and then find some way to show how that is a win for the Democratic Party. I think the Democratic Party has a lot of problems right now. One thing that the Republican Party has had going for it for a long time is it will do anything to hold on to power, including finding allies amongst people you hate and disagree with. And this goes back a long way. This is a classic 80s formula for success in the Republican Party. Whereas not only are liberals very happy to tear each other apart over very, very minor differences, but there are substantial differences in the Democratic and progressive movement that are going to be very, very difficult to get past. And there's one thing that sits in the middle of all of this, which is that I feel like the most energy and genuine heat and enthusiasm comes out of things like Black Lives Matter and Occupy Wall Street, which is the sense of, no, I mean, this is not just a typical, like, bomb throwing, tear it all down. We're saying that in order for substantive things to happen, we have to have fewer 70 and 80-year-old classic Democrats in office. And I'm not going anywhere too specific with this, except to say that that's made me think a lot in the last year. And I'm not saying we should start throwing bombs, but I am very reluctant to see any tiny non-loss as a huge victory for the Democratic Party, because I don't think it is. And in this case, if it wasn't for a bunch of black ladies showing up and a bunch of white men not showing up, this would have gone a completely different way. Can the Democratic Party claim credit for that? Not really. It's the progressive movements that got out there and said to those people, it's really important that you go out and vote in spite of voter suppression, that they would go out and win that. So, I mean, I want to hear about your crumbs, but I don't have anything conclusive to say except that I think the Democratic Party's got some serious problems.
So it's depressing that the things that I care about and that motivate me to work in politics are like this idea of like, we could attack this onto put this at the bottom of the stack for later. But like when we did like our wealth redistribution day for cards, and we get these frankly heartbreaking letters from people where it's like, yeah, I have like medical debt and it destroyed my life because I had to have some life-saving procedure and now my life is shitty, you know, for as long as I live because I can never afford to make ends meet because I'm in this crushing medical debt. It's like, well, isn't someone other than Cards Against Humanity in this country able to stand up and say that that's unjust and wrong and it's not fair and that they deserve better and come up with some policy alternative where their life doesn't have to end
well,
because
the
they had to
God,
have a
to,
medical
to,
procedure?
To at least acknowledge the tragedy of that in more than a thoughts and prayers way. Even
right.
before you fix it to go,
right.
you know what? I don't
say,
know what the answer is,
or say
but there's no excuse for that.
Or have some sort of means tested. It's like, well, it's like she wasn't working at this time or that time. It's like, well, what about the fact that it's your fellow man, right? That it's like a person with dignity. But all of that aside, it's really depressing to me that we only ever get to talk about this stuff when Republicans are taking it away, right? Suddenly everyone loves to talk about programs and benefits and get into the substance of politics when it's almost taken away from them. And now everybody loves ACA, and they are mad that it's being taken away, and they're calling their congressmen and stuff. And that's great. I don't begrudge anyone for getting involved. They should get involved. That's healthy, and we are slowing down the Republican agenda and having a good show of force. But it's a total failure of the left and the Democratic Party that we're not able to articulate these things in a positive way when it comes time to election year and say to people, you deserve better. You can have these things, right? Like, why? Like, that is a compelling message. Like, look at how it's getting people fired up. This tax bill, right? Look at people getting mad about CHIP. CHIP is on CNN. Who knew what the fuck CHIP was 6 months ago? Nobody. Nobody knew what CHIP was unless you were directly a recipient of it. Nobody knew what the fuck CHIP was, and now it's almost gone, and everyone's mad about CHIP. Well, that's great, but what about when it's not almost gone? Where's the part where we have principled leaders who stand up and say, people, we should expand CHIP, we should have new benefits, we should take care of people? Like, where's that?
Well, there's another problem, and it's easy for me in the peanut gallery to say this, but there's not much that I see in terms of a proactive and widely agreed upon philosophical standpoint, or you know, sort of moral standpoint behind the Democratic Party that goes much deeper than, well, we're not Donald Trump, which is everybody's acknowledged. Everybody knows that that's an issue. It's just that anybody who has anything close to a big story about this. It's either somebody who's just making shit up because they're a three-term congressperson, or it's somebody over here with black skin who talks about why can't we stop shooting black people. Like, they have a much larger story about justice. And that big story is not palatable to a lot of the people who feel like they're barely clinging on to power as it is. It's one reason I'm finally realizing why there were some, I mean, I love Hillary Clinton in her way, but like, it was bad timing in some ways because she really represented a lot of this. Oh, they're there. We'll get to that. You know, let's rally the black people for this one thing, but then don't cause too much trouble because we're having a tough time.
Well, you can be a great person and an admirable person and also be the wrong person for the wrong time. Right. Like, anyway. All right.
So what are the crumbs you found?
All right. You ready for my conspiracy theory? I'm going to start by reading a story from Yahoo News. This is from last week.
Oh, good.
Rupert Murdoch's home and winery are in the Bel Air enclave of Los Angeles. Hang on. Redo. I got
3, 2, 1.
I got sauce in my mouth. I'm feeling very slow. I have to think very consciously about how I move my jaw and my tongue.
I feel actually remarkably good for having eaten 3 McDonald's sandwiches and half a bag of fries. I haven't touched my shake.
Last night I went to bed. Well, I put on the movie Elf and got off Twitter, and I'm like, I can't watch this. And this morning I woke up. I'm like, shit. Okay.
We should talk about what our comforting TV shows that lower your IQ by 50 points when you watch them are at some point. I put that on the stack.
Real quick, one thing about Elf. Have you seen this movie, Merlin?
Yes, we watched it with the family last week.
I don't think I ever put this together, but essentially it's about a woman who falls in love with someone mentally challenged, and no one's questioning that. No one's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, but she's poor.
Oh, okay. Forgive me.
It's like Finding Dory for another age.
I was so... Okay.
But she's not rich. Well, no, I'm answering your question, Alex. She had her water cut off. She's poor. So it totally makes sense for her to like a guy who is, as you say, in a very kind way, mentally challenged. That totally works for a movie. She's shouting at the office and singing in that way.
Now it's woke to like that song again. Did you hear?
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Save it for the show.
Max, what I want to hear about your cyberpunk reality.
Yahoo News.
Woo.
Here we go. Rupert Murdoch's home and winery in the Bel Air enclave of Los Angeles are under threat from nearby wildfires. Murdoch bought the 16-acre property called Moronga Estate for $29.5 million. It includes a large 5-bedroom residence as well as a winery and vineyard, which Murdoch uses to produce and sell wine. Bloomberg reported that the property is within the current evacuation zone, and NBC is reporting that it has caught fire. So Rupert Murdoch, who runs climate-denying Fox News, his $30 million home and vineyard are burnt down from the Los Angeles fires. You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's a story from this week from Business Insider. In San Francisco, autonomous crime-fighting robots that are used to patrol parking lots, sports arenas, and tech company campuses are now being deployed to keep away homeless people. The San Francisco Business Times reported last week that the San Francisco SPCA, an animal advocacy and pet adoption group, put a security robot to work outside its facilities in the gentrifying Mission neighborhood. The robot's presence is meant to deter homeless people from setting up camps along the sidewalks. Have you guys seen these things?
Oh,
they
look
like little Daleks.
Daleks? Really?
And they putter around.
It looks like a Dalek, but it's got a cute picture of a Chihuahua on it. Being removed.
Max, have you seen what these? What it looks like?
Who's ready for a quiz?
Excuse me. I'm a Chihuahua, and I need you to move your tent with the sinks.
I don't like a confrontation. Could you please move your encampment off of my sidewalk?
What? I'm standing here like a jerk, having to ask you 5 times, please, to move.
What is this, a hotel?
Wait, why was I giving self-consciousness? All right. It's got a real cute, it does look like a Dalek, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an R2-D2 Dalek, and it's got a sweet, sweet little Chihuahua on the front. And it looks like something out of a low-budget 70s dystopian movie.
It looks like one of the bad robots from RoboCop.
Or Wall-E.
Yes. It looks like something out of Wall-E. So,
Bitchy Eve.
Are you ready? So basically, they've got these robots.
Eve. No, wait a minute. I got it. 3, 2, 1. Leave. Classified. Directive? Leave. Classified. I just made myself laugh. I ate 3 hamburgers.
So they've got these robots clearing homeless people, right? You've got 1 in 4 people who are at risk for hunger in San Francisco. And they're
thanks. That makes me feel real good right now.
I feel great right now.
And you've got and you know, it's San Francisco, it's Silicon Valley, baby. They're blue sky solutioneering out there. They look at this problem and what do they see? What is that? Homelessness? What is that? What is that? Is that a problem or is it an opportunity? It's an opportunity for a startup. Get me the street sweeper robot. Get these bums out of here. Or you can upgrade to the premium package where it deploys a gentle Pavlov-esque electrical shock to them and encourages them to move off
That's
of your property.
True. It's a complicated problem.
Okay, now here's
what
my final
thing. What this thing does, first of all, okay, so that's funny and it's true and it's sad and la 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 la. Okay, there's a lot more texture to this, unfortunately. I mean, one thing is that this thing is not literally sweeping people off the street. It's going. It's really more of like a night watchman than a robot that's forcing people to leave. It's mainly using detectors and probably IoT-ish technology to let people know there's somebody here who shouldn't be here.
Oh, it goes around and humanely chips them.
Well,
they travel in pods, and you want to track the location of the pod.
That's going to happen. I just want to make sure we have a stake in the ground that that's not precisely what this does. And it's a very complicated problem.
Okay, of the three of us, the fact that you are defending the scary Beverly Hills Chihuahua robot.
I'm defending what? How did I defend that?
I
said what was true about it rather than what's funny about it. That's not a defense of that. It's a clarification that this shit is really fucking hard. And I would challenge you guys to go spend $10,000 a month on a place in the Mission and be okay with what's going on there. I'm not saying what they're doing is right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm saying nobody is fucking right about this. And if you lived in the middle of it, you would know what a shit show every single aspect of this is. This is a terrible story. And
it's called ephebophilia.
People who read this in Poughkeepsie, you're going to go, that's really sad, and then turn over to the crumpet. And like, but this shit is really fucking complicated and horrible. It's a horrible situation.
Well, who can say? I mean, this crazy mixed up world that we live in, who can say whether having a robot, a very expensive robot that sweeps homeless people off the street is good or bad? I mean, a lot of factors to consider. I think that's a great point. All right. And then here's my So Rupert Murdoch's $30 million home and winery burnt down. You've got the robot, the expensive robot sweeping the homeless people off the streets. Now, here's my final story from the LA Times. The blaze that swept through the hills of Bel Air last week, destroying six homes and damaging a dozen others, was sparked by a cooking fire at a homeless encampment in a nearby ravine, Los Angeles officials said Thursday.
These are actually really good crumbs. This makes a hell of a story.
The encampment was nestled in a canyon several hundred feet from Sepulveda Boulevard and the 405 freeway, hidden from passing cars. For several years, it had been a home to an unknown number of people, officials said. Are you guys starting to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Rupert Murdoch's home, his $30 million vineyard, was burnt down because of a trash can fire that some hobos started to cook their beans.
Why didn't you go find the happy crumbs of... I mean...
Oh, well, there was that delightful young lad who was bullied, and his mom made the video, and then Captain America said, "Hey, buddy, don't let it get you down. I was bullied, too, and I want you to come to the Avengers premiere." And then that's the end of the story, and nothing else occurred.
Nope.
And that kid and his awesome family and his very cool mom are going to get to go to the Avengers premiere.
Oh, God.
What's his name? Colby? Caleb?
Keaton Jones.
Keaton, my man. Keaton, my main man, Keaton. Yep. Apparently he was bullied.
So now we bag on that kid because his mom was kind of a selfish dick.
No, his mom, it's not that she was a selfish dick, it's that she was
a selfish dick. I saw the interview with the MMA guy talking into his iPhone about calling, and all she wants is money.
Well, I don't know about that. I didn't follow that, but all I know is that she was a milkshake duck pretty bad. She's very she's extremely racist, and they have like Confederate flags and stuff, and apparently the kid was bullied because he called some black kids the N-word.
Okay. Wow.
So just proving once again that the Avengers do need some sort of government oversight because they can't even get this fucking bullying case right.
I know. They need Nick Fury. He knows where the bodies are buried.
Remember the clock kid, Ahmed? And Obama was like, "Oh, pretty cool clock, Ahmed. You should come to the White House."
Right, I remember clock kid. I do remember that.
I think a friend of the show, Neil Dash, was very involved, and he was on the case. He was on the beat.
Do I get a vote on that?
and this episode's never getting released. And
it's all good. But
Obama invited the clock kid, and he goes, pretty cool clock, Ahmed. You should come to the White House. Trump is going to go. Pretty cool Confederate flag, Colby. You and your family should come on down to the White House and meet Jeff Sessions.
Oh, my God. I went and did a racism.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I've had a lot of burgers. I don't know. You know, one downside of constantly looking at political Twitter, probably the only downside of constantly looking at political Twitter, is you realize... maybe it's the nature of the news business. Maybe it's the ADD addled nature of the people who are posting on there. But there is a strange kind of mass desire for stimulation combined with sometimes a surprising amount of incuriosity. And so that ends up leading to more and more of the stimulation because then you get the milkshake duck. It's one thing to go, "Oh my God, finally a heartwarming story. Fucking Joe Biden is talking to John McCain's daughter on TV and everybody's happy." Yeah, but John McCain was mean to Anita Hill. Yeah, but Anita... And it just feels like it's this endless desire to feel fucking anything through the internet that leads people down these paths where they then draw conclusions about how the world works from these kinds of crumbs. And I pick up the crumbs too. I don't know.
It's that you're an accomplice to the guilt of the bad party if you don't adequately shame them. That's where I think that's part of the cyclone where it just gathers, you know, it's just out there in the Pacific Ocean, like gathering force, right? Where it's like people get mad. People get mad if you like follow someone, right? If someone's in trouble or they're mad, you know, whatever, everyone's mad at someone, they'll like look at your followers. Or at least I get this, and they're like, "I can't believe you follow this person." And it's like, hey, fuck you, buddy. Like, well, you know, I follow lots of people that I don't like. Like, I used to follow Bill Mitchell. Like, that's my business. Right. Like, don't get it. Don't follow shame me. Like, you have no idea why I'm following people.
But like, and again, I'm when I say I'm guilty of this, I mean I'm super guilty of this. We have this whole funny podcast about this kind of stuff. But like, for example, like, and I see this on political Twitter. If you're following the account that you put on there, that shows you the social media activity of the Trump family, mostly Don, Ivanka, Kellyanne, and Eric. Eric mainly just favorites things about his dad's wine. It makes him very happy. But like, you know, what you'll see on there, and the way that bot works, I mean, they've tried to be really clear about this, is like they say, okay, so you'll see Ivanka. Ivanka shows up for a minute. She's having some kind of tea cleanse, and she goes and she favorites three things, and she follows three people, and you see these little patterns. Suddenly, she's following these three congressmen. That's really interesting. Does that mean that there's collusion? Well, probably not, but okay, sure. But then you'll see like, oh, Don Jr. has stopped following, you know, ABCD hot-headed FM radio DJ. And then, of course, everybody retweets a screenshot of that and goes, interesting. And then the bot will say things like, well, you know, the bot says right on it, we don't know if this is because this person stopped following. We don't know if it's because of a block. We don't know if it's because of a suspension. We don't know why it happened. But, like, then that becomes this little clue. And in the same way that Jon Stewart used to get off on lots of stuff by saying, like, I'm not a journalist. I'm just a comedian. Like, you know, we're all just, like, gathering string and, like, trying to, you know, find something meaningful out of all of it. But I wish there was a Democrat I could get excited about. That's what I really want. Are you excited about any Democrats right now?
Nationally? Like, in the country?
Like, Cory Booker. Does Cory Booker excite you? He seems very polished.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a candidate for 2020 yet. I'm sure I'll talk about it on the podcast as we start to learn who's running and who's not.
People like that Gillibrand lady.
I don't. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't, nothing against her. She's a fine senator. Yeah. I just, she's, you know, it's one of those things of like, I know it when I see it. Like, I, you know, it's like I knew in 2004 that John Kerry was never going to beat George W. Bush because he was Bush light. There was no contrast between those candidates.
Right.
And
right.
He, there was this whole thing that if we nominated a square enough guy with enough, you know, unimpeachable, you know, I don't know, military experience, that these Republicans would see the error of their ways and they'd come over. But meanwhile, right. Like, no one on our side wanted to leave their house to vote for John Kerry. Like, I couldn't vote, but I was not, you know, I was in high school and I was, like, not excited at all about him.
Did you watch the MSNBC coverage at all last night?
No, I was just on Twitter.
They have this guy on there who's doing this thing that you've seen lots of different places. You see, they used to see this a lot on CNN. CNN was always trying to innovate with this, where when there's an election, they got a big map, sometimes an interactive map, and there's a guy whose job it is to, like, do stuff with the map and talk about it. And the guy at NBC is this very enthusiastic guy named Steve Kornacki. And I've enjoyed his work before. I like when he sits in for hosts on MSNBC. But it wasn't until last night that I was so completely blown away by how fucking smart and talented this guy was. So he's fucking on live TV with an interactive map. He is able to know the name of a county in Alabama. He knows which one to click on. He generally does it like pretty well. We've come a pretty long way with that touch technology. He's able to tell you, and certainly some of this he's being coached with through monitors and stuff, but he's able to draw, I said this on Twitter last night, but he's able to, in the moment, on live TV, standing in front of a screen that he can't actually see, because I think it's like a weatherman thing. He's probably looking at a screen that's not the one that he's touching. He's doing all of that on live TV while combining, he's using the tech, he's bringing in math, he does really fast, like arithmetic in his head, a history of what has happened historically in that county. Oh, by the way, yeah, he knows the name of that county in Alabama, the geography and the stats, and he's doing it all live and doing a pretty good job. And it's easy to look at that and laugh and go, oh gosh, what a ding-a-ling, what a circus monkey. But I was just sitting there going like, all right, let's take everything I can imagine about this, that he's rehearsed this. Let's imagine that he's getting lots of help in his ear. Let's imagine he's got screens that he can refer to. Let's assume, like, almost everything. You think about what that guy accomplished past fucking midnight last night, still holding all that stuff together and being able to collate data. He's flipping through papers the whole time, explaining things. And then I'm thinking about, like, and then you got the guy eating the McDonald's. And it just kills me. It just kills me that this one guy reporting on this has so much, maybe he's broad, I don't think he's too shallow, but he's very broad. To have somebody who knows the names of all those things, the president doesn't know who Frederick Douglass is. But this guy is able to remember like what Tuscaloosa did in 1992 and then what that means in terms of the turnout vis-a-vis black women in this area. And it's just like, it makes my brain bend. I try not to think about it too much because when I start thinking about it, it makes me, on the one hand, exhilarated and excited for someone who's that smart. But on the other hand, it's incredibly depressing to me to think about the people reporting on that being so much more capable than the person that's being reported on.
I mean, if I think about it for more than 5 seconds, I start to think that I won't see a woman president in my lifetime. And, like, that's really fucked up. There's this really good joke in BoJack Horseman where a storyline happens where a woman decides that she's going to start carrying a gun. And then basically the Second Amendment is repealed. And they're like, oh, wow, who knew that America hated women more than they loved guns? And I've probably told this story before, but even like you said, it feels like intelligence does not matter. I can't go on Twitter anymore and I can't look at the lists of just like people parroting the exact same opinion. Like, but Max, you're right. It feels like there's no imagination. There's just.
But America's also a very racist country.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
I mean,
are.
No one would dispute.
I think that's true.
No one would dispute that. And yet Obama got elected president.
Right.
So Americans are at the same time. Like,
yeah, but
I mean,
like
we're a country.
My mom liked Johnny Mathis. You know what I'm saying?
No, I actually don't know what that reference is.
Okay.
Johnny Mathis.
He's a black gay man who is a singer. She really liked Nat King Cole. I mean, there's a pretty storied history of exceptions to the rule. And in that case, he was so smart and so, what's the word I'm looking for? what's the racist thing you're never supposed to say? He's so clean and articulate.
Oh,
well,
do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think I mean.
You're saying it's a good thing or a bad thing that it is an encouraging thing.
No, I think that this whole notion of that we're not going to see a woman president in our lifetime is wrong. We will see a woman president in our lifetime. It's going to happen shockingly quickly, and it's going to go just like – did any of us think that in 2004 that the next president would be a black man?
Right.
Yeah, but I was 14 and optimistic.
Okay, but that, Merlin, I mean, but Merlin, you, I mean. Were, you
yeah.
were paying attention to
no,
the news.
No, no, no. I totally feel you.
Do you see what I'm saying? Or did anyone think that in 2000, after the Bush election in 2000, that less than a decade later you'd have – legal gay marriage in America?
Totally none of that. The marijuana, the gay marriage, the Obama, none of that.
Right.
None of that. But here's the other thing my brain is still catching up with, is how much people on the right rally behind a certain kind of female voice. Right? So, I mean, it used to be, I mean, certainly we see, we can't even get into all the horribleness that goes on, but at the same time, you think about what's her name, Judge Pirro. You think about Kellyanne Clark. You think about Hope Hicks. You think about like there are so many voices. Think about
there are these like Dolores Umbridge characters,
kind of. But I mean, there's probably a variety of reasons why most bots are headshots of a blonde woman. I mean, it's not just like a sexuality and attractiveness thing, although that certainly factors into it. Hope Hicks is a genuinely very beautiful woman who used to be a model. But I do think there. I think the irony of this is, and I hate to have the words form in my McDonald's-filled mouth, but I think there's a very good chance that we're going to have a woman president, maybe even the next time, but I think it might be a very far right-wing woman. I think there's a much, much greater chance at this point of somebody like Hope Hicks or similar.
You think we're going to get like a Margaret Thatcher or a Sarah Palin?
Kind of, because like,
I don't know.
Yeah,
well, then why didn't Sarah Palin beat Obama? I mean, I can come up with. We're in the realm of speculating, and I think like a more interesting question that you can measure and that we have some, you know, that where you can talk about it is like how much was sexism the reason that Hillary lost the election in 2016?
Yeah, but she wasn't hot.
you know. No. I'm
being somewhat sarcastic,
no,
I think that's a huge part of it. Oh, she's got cankles and she's sick and falls down.
I mean, yeah, she's got that device on her back.
I forgot about her device.
I loved the device. I mean, I don't have any good insight on this. I don't.
Wait, what was the device? Was that if she topples over at the 9/11 ceremony, someone can grab her?
No, it was the little box that was actually a lock. That was, for that the
was
bait, that
she was,
and she was leaning over, and they're like, "This is what's keeping her upright."
Oh, I see. Like a marionette.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Hope Hicks has to bring in the machine, but she's got somebody to bring in. Where's my box?
That's interesting. So people think she was like sort of a Disney Hall of Presidents, like radio controlled, like a highly advanced,
like
like there's like Ridley Scott is backstage with like a team.
Well, I think one of the, I don't know if I even saw this as a joke, but someone's like, oh, it's tapped into her spine so that she can get electric pulses when she can read the Morse code.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, before the debate starts, there's just a team of people. Right. They all crack their knuckles and hunch over a computer. There's a voiceover artist who does her all of her speaking. He's the same guy who does the robot. Yeah.
Tax credits.
Well, it used to be. You remember there was the one that went around where people thought W had. They saw when you shoot him from the back at a debate. It looked like he had
the hump,
a box.
The hump. The hump.
The hump, and that was so he was being.
What was that hump? We never found out what that hump was. I always want to know what that hump was.
The story was that he was being fed answers through an earpiece.
There's no better answer for what that hump was than that.
Bush's mystery bulge, which is a that's his colored pencils. I bet he kept in there like his little art set. Yeah,
he's got a little trapper keeper back there.
Yeah, that's a Duncan professional yo-yo.
The only difference between Bush and Trump was it was in an era where the president still had to pretend to know things and act smart. Whereas for Trump, it's like an act of like defiance. If he's like, folks, there's too many countries. I don't know what they are. You don't know what they are. We don't need these people. It's like then everyone's like, yeah, he's cool. He says what we're all thinking.
Many people are saying there were too many countries. Who knew? Nobody could know it was this complicated.
We didn't talk about the whole Omarosa thing, but this morning
I was like,
this is literally reading, like all these think pieces are reading like a Vulture recap of The Apprentice in 2009. It was
Did you hear about this, Max?
Yeah, of course. I try not to get too excited about Scaramucci and Omarosa and all of the staff drama, and there's two reasons. One of them is that, I'm sorry, am I stepping on a bit?
No. I just like the idea of that it was something like Fredo couldn't control his wife. And so it wasn't Al Neary, but somebody had to go, you Italians are all the same. You treat women like shit. And then Fredo's like, what am I going to do? I'm Fredo. And so I just imagine them dragging this woman out, and she's, several sources have said she was cursing and screaming obscenities as she was let off the property. Bressa, fressa, snaggle, bressa.
A crate of oranges rolled down the steps of the portico. So there's two things. I mean, one, I think it's like the one trick that Trump knows how to do that's very astute and media savvy. You know, let me back up for one second. So there's this whole movement in politics that's very frustrating to me as a practitioner, where a lot of people look at Dan Scavino and these like absolute mouth-breathing gorillas who do all of Trump's web stuff and campaign stuff, and they're like, these people, they're secret geniuses. Everyone wrote them off, but they really know what they're doing, and we should be doing what they – like, we've got to learn. Like, we have to have our own fake news, and we have to have our own extreme Twitter accounts. Like, that's what the Democrats have to be doing.
Right.
And,
right, the
thing that you have to keep in mind
it'll be just as successful as Air America.
Yeah. And the thing that you have to keep in mind about elections is somebody wins every election, right? There's never an election where neither candidate wins. Somebody's going to win. Even if they both ran bad campaigns and one of them was really bad, they're both really bad, or, you know, there's nothing to emulate in the other guy. Like, it doesn't mean that Trump's a genius. It's like someone had to win and it happened to be Trump. But anyhow, he gets a lot of credit for being a smart about these and strategic about these things. But that being said, the one thing where I do think Trump has a couple of tricks up his sleeve that are actually quite savvy, and I think they're like they're not honorable, but they are like effective like arbitrages on the bad, dumb media environment that we all live in. And one of them is to fire people and create a lot of suspense and drama about who's in and who's out. And to he understands the pacing of the reality show where every week someone needs to go home and you want to know who stays on the island and who's on and who's off and who's on the in-group and who's on the out-group. And that that can effectively be a sideshow that everyone – that seems substantive. It's like a – you know, it seems like something's happening when you watch Top Chef or The Bachelor or
– Except this is about high-level government staffing. Like, this is a big deal.
But it doesn't – but Trump understands the underlying logic, which is there's a human instinct to know which gorilla is in the tribe, right? And he can play on that with the pacing of a reality show in a very effective way. Now, I don't think he's sitting there with a whiteboard diagramming this out. I think it's intuitive. I think he
it's instinctual.
It's instinct. He understands it's a way to create a sideshow, and it works pretty much every time. So I think that's part of the drama with Scaramucci and Omarosa. The other piece that's darker and more chilling is this is also, and I think I may have, stop me if I've said gone into this too much on the podcast before, but this is also a thing you see often in like authoritarian governments and dictatorships where they have this constant revolving door of senior staff and leadership and heads of you know, government and heads of departments and things like that, because it it reduces accountability and it inoculates the leader from any wrongdoing. There's always someone else whose fault it was who was just kicked out, who was creating all the corruption or telling all the lies or giving the leader bad advice. So it insulates the leader from any political heat, and it creates an environment of confusion and a lack of accountability that allows for extreme corruption and abuses of power. And that's one of the other things that really frightens me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, but I mean, it's...
you know, it's this like consumer... Finance Protection Bureau, right? The Elizabeth Warren thing that is supposed to protect people from being abused by banks. That was like the one good concession we got out of the bailout bill. They don't. It's like it's very easy for them. They don't want to change what that thing does. They just don't want. They just want to hobble it, right? They want it to not be functional and to be ineffectual and to not regulate the banks. So it's really easy. They just need to keep them in a constant state of turmoil and drama so that no one is able to effectively do their jobs. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Omarosa didn't do anything, right? Her getting thrown out is there's nothing of consequence other than there's some funny memes. And
What did she do at the White House? And
exactly.
What did she screw up?
That was the ongoing bit, and at least the reporting on Kelly from the beginning is that there's two things that he wants to do. He wants to control the flow of information, especially into the president. He knows he'll never get the president to stop using Twitter, but he wants to control the flow and the quality of the information that he receives. So a lot of folks who used to be in his good books would just like basically just like stream in and out of the office. Like literally, there's stories of people on it, quote unquote, on their lunch break, just going to hang out in the Oval Office. So he wanted to make sure that there was control over who got in there and what information they were bringing. Second, he wanted to make sure he personally understood what each person's portfolio was. What are they responsible for? What value is it providing? The story goes, and I don't care, but I'm just telling you what I've read. The story goes that Omarosa was a double danger on that one. Because on the one hand, she was very notorious for coming in with something she printed out from the internet to get the president mad. She would just float in and out of the office. He felt very comfortable with her. And second, apparently, I don't know if this is true, reporting is that literally no one who works in the White House knew what she was supposed to be doing, let alone what she was doing. And so she's been in, supposedly been in General Kelly's sights for a while, because she, obviously, she represents exactly what he's there to try to clean up, which is just this parade of stimulation without any kind of a basis in doing, you know, good governance and good messaging. I sounded smart when I said that.
You are very smart, Merlin Mann.
Thank you. I had three burgers. Should we do a check-in on how we're feeling?
I'm done. I'm walking away from this challenge.
We've been recording for about an hour. I don't know what it'll be after edits, but we've been recording for a bit over an hour. Should we report in on what we've eaten and how we feel? I feel like this is part of it. I mean, we need to just gauge
where
we are.
So I ate one medium fries. I had one quarter of a medium chocolate milkshake. I had most of a Big Mac and the fish patty off of a Filet of Fish.
And oh, that's pretty good.
I feel horrible. I have an entire Big Mac and an entire Filet of Fish. Chris, do you want a Big Mac? You want a Filet of Fish?
There's Big Macs.
Do you want both? He keeps saying no. Why do you think that is? Anyway, I feel so horrible. I feel like I'm in a wave pool, just floating around.
That's no good.
I've only had half of a large fry, half of a Diet Coke, and what's killing me, I think, is half of a small chocolate malted, apparently, milkshake, which was really good, but oh, God. How about you, Merlin?
Oh, breaking news.
Tuga-tuga.
The federal judge, Trump's judicial nominee, who had never tried a case before and spent a year as a paranormal investigator. He just withdrew his name from consideration.
What? Oh. I thought he was on his way.
I guess that there was some major problems. I haven't read the story yet, but I guess there were some major problems with his disclosure form. Shocking.
Oh, surprise.
Oh, I see. He didn't disclose that he's married to a White House lawyer.
Oh, see, that's the kind of thing you would think that why would I even need to say that?
Yeah, why would that have to come up?
That's such an odd thing to ping him for. I ate all of a Big Mac. I ate half of two-thirds of a filet of fish all the way through. I ate the meat-ish guts out of a second Big Mac, and I ate all the meat-ish guts of a quarter pounder with cheese. So
were all the onions fully hydrated?
Well, you know, on the quarter pounder, listen to this.
Oh,
what is that?
That's a good fresh onion. Huh. I think I'm a good boy. I did not eat all my bread. And I didn't touch my second filet of fish. Oh, and then I had half a large order of fries.
My face feels very hot.
I don't see myself drinking that shake anytime soon. I feel way better than I expected, though.
I honestly think you are the healthiest of the three of us.
I had a very healthy breakfast.
I get real sleepy after I eat like this. There's a pretty good chance I'll be having a nap today. Maybe have a bath.
I do not feel ready to do any work, certainly.
I mean, you are the big boss here. You can just go home and be like, oh, gonna work from home.
You guys want want an update from Nextdoor?
Yes, please.
Digga, 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 Dateline, Nextdoor. Neighbor Alan writes, crime. What happened at the flower store on Dingle and Dingle? Neighbor Randy responds, nothing at the flower store. A pedestrian was hit by a car crossing the street and died at the scene.
Oh!
That's it.
Well, actually, I should say,
neighbor Giuliani put an emoticon of somebody looking kind of sad, like with their eyes closed. And then neighbor Randy says it happened yesterday afternoon. End of thread.
Oh.
I might do a next door thread or post to my weird Facebook group because the last two mornings I've been awoken at about 6:45 or 7 a.m. by the sound of a helicopter over our house.
Why are there helicopters over your house?
Well, that's exactly the question that I think that I might ask on Nextdoor.
Hasn't this happened before?
No.
Yes.
No.
He wanted a website. Max wants a website. Yeah, it does nothing but tell him, why are there helicopters over my house?
Yeah. Oh, I do want that one. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's usually they're at night. And I think usually they're like, I think usually they're pursuing. Don't you get a lot of helicopters in your neighborhood, Alex?
No, never.
You don't? Usually they're pursuing a suspect or they're like just traffic helicopters. Or sometimes there's a fire. Haven't you ever seen a fire and there's a bunch of news helicopters like filming the fire in case they need footage of it? So I think it's usually that kind of a deal, but I want to know.
So you live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of fires and a lot of traffic. Like there's still no reason for them to fly over your house.
Well.
That's why you need that website.
Yeah.
I need the website.
Questions.
I don't know why they're there. I mean, my thought when I'm asleep,
who live in helicopter neighborhood.
When I'm asleep and it's 6:45 in the morning, I'm awoken by the sound of a helicopter over my house. My first thought is they've come for me. That's it. I'm done.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Remember to stir the sauce.
Now I have a number of pieces of follow up. Number one, Merlin.
Yes.
There was a I don't want to spoil it. How do we handle this? I want to talk about the latest Roderick on the Line. Maybe in the after show. Maybe in the after show. We'll do that in the after show. People, listen, if you want to hear me.
You're not the first person to ask me this.
If you want to hear me talk to Merlin about the latest episode of Roderick on the Line, which was It really was really poignant, and I mean, it was one of my favorite episodes of that show. I was gripped. I mean, I stopped what I was doing just to listen to it.
It took a kind of unexpected turn toward the end.
Yes. A lot of it was John talking about pedals that he was going to use in an album and then didn't or something like that. So anyhow, if you want to hear that, you can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. You give us $5, you get an extra episode of the podcast every week. You get a whole bonus episode every week where we talk about even more bullshit than we do on the normal show.
Oh, we gossip about our friends. We say the worst things about people.
Probably you, if you're listening to this. And the only way to find out is to give us $5 a month.
Giveusyourfuckingmoney.com.
So I'll ask you about that in the after show.
We got a raccoon attack. We got people not picking up after their dogs. A lot going on next door.
How about this?
Yeah.
You've been talking to your daughter about the Cards Against Humanity promotions that we're doing.
Oh, of course.
And I normally do not like talking about card stuff, but I thought this was an interesting angle.
What happened was I made a toot about how I thought redistributing wealth day was very funny and well done and very Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, that tweet had legs.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Why.
That was a big one.
Why. And then what did I say to you? What did I send you? Did I send you a picture of a couple cards? I sent you a picture of the one about the panda that can't keep its eyes open. Was that it? No. What was the one? What was the picture I sent you? I don't even remember.
Oh, okay. You're very sleepy.
I keep eating the fries.
Alex, stop eating. Look at all these boxes of food. What is that? Long boy. What's the long boy?
These are free chicken nuggets.
No.
Because this is the first time I used Uber Eats, and they sent me chicken nuggets.
Free nuggets! Free nuggets!
I absolutely do not want that. What is that, a little lighter fluid on there?
I sent Max one of my favorite cards we received in the December days of gifts. I love the white card. It says, a stack of puppies in a trench coat.
Oh.
It's from the Happy Day, the cute
Christ,
day.
I've been lobbying to get that card into the game for like 6 years.
Yeah.
Well, okay. this is a bit and a meta bit and a meta, meta, meta bit. But any joke that in any way, punchline, setup, any bit that involves several small things in a trench coat trying to look like a grown man is funny to me. I don't know why.
Because you grew up, it's like how old people are all scared of quicksand because they used to see a
quicksand
lot of quicksand in movies.
Yeah.
You grew up in a Little Rascals era, Merlin.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't care if it's Africanized bees. It's funny. If it's trying to be a person and nobody wears a trench coat, like, why would you even do that? And I said, a stack of puppies in a trench coat. And I said, I love these so much. I told you we subscribed. And then what I said was that, I mean, I don't want to imbue this with too much more value, interest, and depth than actually exists. But what I said was that, I said, for a variety of reasons, the work and the voice of your company leads to many of the most interesting conversations I have with my kid.
What is there to talk about? Like, do you tell her all the stuff that we do? And how does she process it? And what do you guys talk about?
Well, I mean, there's lots of ones. First of all, she's obsessed with Alex. She loves Alex so much.
I don't do anything.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell her. you're really good at this.
What about me? What about me, though?
You don't come up. It was super weird.
All right, this bit was a mistake.
Okay, this show's over.
Yeah.
No, but okay, so for example, there's things that she knows about that because Dad thinks it's funny, she started to think it was funny, too. I mean, you know, I guess this is trend, but, you know, Donald Trump is a large man who lives in a golf course. Empirically.
That's Eli wrote. I'm pretty sure. That's Eli. I think
okay,
Eli
well,
that
is that. Empirically the funniest thing that anyone has ever written, especially if you say it like this. Donald Trump is a large man who lives in a golf course. That's the basis. That's going to be the basis for a century of humor for more reasons than I can go. The exact phrasing of Donald Trump is a large man who lives in a golf course.
It's the word in is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
In does all of the work. But is he underground? Is he in a hobbit hole?
He seems like he's
a fat man in a suit who lives in a golf course. He's very large.
I always imagine him as like a gopher being chased by Bill Murray.
okay, so we read that page. Oh, and then in the end, and she would just recite it, and then in the end, we'll give all the money to Hillary Clinton. She just thinks that's the funniest thing. She gets that that's a brilliant setup. I'm giving you some pretext here.
Okay.
So that's all stuff that's just funny to her.
the watching the hole being dug was extreme. If you don't think that's funny to a 9-year old, paying to dig a hole until they run out of money is just fucking funny.
No, I actually didn't understand. So when we did that, it didn't occur to me. But then once the video was up, we got a huge audience watching it. And I was asking on Twitter, like, why are people watching this? And I got many, 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 many nice comments from children and autistic people who
kids on the spectrum especially are like obsessed with construction equipment.
Yep. And and they watched it for it was, you know, it's a long uninterrupted stream of guys operating machinery really well. And like I found it very compelling, and we had it on the TV, and Veronica was like, "Can we watch like something else?" And I was like, "No, like, this is there's nothing better
I want
than this."
The hole.
Yeah,
this is TV now.
Alex, hang on, I don't mean to interrupt this, but feel this.
Oh no, no,
just feel it. Just feel it.
This which isn't bread. It's a sponge of some
it's
sort.
It's the bottom of a fish.
Oh, it says it specifically in the description that it's a soft bun.
I'm gonna tap it on the table. Listen to this.
Served on a soft
but that's the thing. Oh. It's so dense, but it's still spongy. Yes. I don't know how. Oh God!
Like the president. So that's all just pretext.
You hear
like,
that? That's bread.
That's.
Yep.
This is cocoa.
There's upwards of 10 pieces of that floating around in the president's stomach at all times.
I want to do this challenge again just to take it all apart because I think looking at all of the pieces like you're doing an iFixit teardown, it would be so fun to see what all this looks like when you put it into piles. There's 10 pieces of bread.
Oh. Well, you can Merlin, I sell a special little toolkit you can use to take apart your Big Mac. It's $29.99. It's got the special screwdrivers that
you need. Hey, guys. Anyway, I won't belabor this.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just fascinated
by
bread.
I mean, that was all just pretext to say that she's already kind of predisposed to like you guys. She doesn't and can't really listen to any of the things that I do, but this is unequivocally her favorite thing that I do just because Alex is on it. But, okay, so here's one example. Is day one, I still don't fully understand what happened, but day one, what do you guys call it officially?
Cards Against Humanity Saves America.
But, like, and how many days of this are there?
Six.
Is it six?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first day, it's brilliant. My wife and I both get our first thing in the mail, and you open it up, and it's like it's a great cover letter in the Cards Against Humanity voice, and it's a bunch of flibbity-jibbity from a lawyer and a map that looks like a treasure map. And anybody out here who's gotten this, you know this, but this is to answer Max's question. And then it's got, what was the other thing in there? Oh, and then like you're explaining how we're buying these small parcels of land. So it's going to be more difficult to build a wall just in this one area. Now, can't you see how there's like half a dozen things about that that are fascinating to talk about? Like, and she was actually genuinely kind of interested about like the funny map with the funny names on it. She's 10. She's not stupid. I'm making her sound like she's like, oh, look at this. There's funny names. But no, she's a pretty sophisticated kid. She thought it was funny. So what do we talk about? Well, of course, we talk about what makes something funny. Because that's a hilarious topic. Mm-hmm. But like, how is it? But then also, then how does the voice?
This sounds very. It all sounds very Jewish of you.
It's very Jewish of me.
Well, you'll see, Barmanides defined
my daughter's an octa-Jew. My daughter's an octa-Jew. My wife is a quatra-Jew. But we'll talk about. So you know, this is funny. Why is that funny? I know, and she agrees that the word "in" is what makes "in a golf course" funny. But in this case, so we go a little deeper, and you go like, "Well, this is a kind of a crazy thing to do." I was like, "Yeah, isn't it weird that like they've got this voice as a company, and they do these things that are funny, but it's also a form of dissent. It's a form of protest. Like, isn't that kind of an interesting thing that you could be funny about this? And what makes it effective is that it's funny. It's not on the nose. It's a little bit arch." And then we end up talking about stuff like, I mean, it's not like we talked about this for an hour. It's like 5 minutes before she goes back to playing Minecraft. But like, you know, it's been thought provoking to think about the different angles on.
That's cool. Things. I never, in my wildest imagination, I never thought of this provoking an interesting conversation with a kid. It's just cool. It's weird. I mean, I don't know. What can I say? It's like sometimes you make stuff and you don't think of the audience that it's going to reach or the way that it's going to come into people's lives.
You guys should be proud of yourselves for what you do. It does that. But like when you're, so here's the problem.
I always imagine a breathless, like heaving, like obese middle-aged man doing an unboxing video on YouTube, you know. let's see. It looks like a pack of stickers. I'm now going to peel them apart one at a time. Oh, that's all last year. We got more stickers.
They appear to have adhesive on the back.
And so, but like, okay, so here's the thing about being a parent is I told myself I would, to the extent possible, never lie to my daughter. And now I have to lie to her all the time. Or I have to shade some things so fucking hard that it pains me. But last night, after her shower, her TV time was done, and it was our TV time. And so we're watching coverage, MSNBC's coverage of the election. We're watching the fucking needle.
Boy, how do you, did you ever talk about Roy Moore?
Yeah. Yeah, well, but here's the thing. And this is, I'm not saying my approach is good or my approach is smart or my approach is even advisable. She's been hearing about this. Fucking, I have to remember to fucking turn off public radio because it's not even occurring to me what she is having to listen to that she shouldn't really have to listen to. But here's what it came down to. She's curious. Why are we so excited that this blobby white guy is winning instead of this blobby white guy? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, think about a neighbor of ours. That neighbor is 14 or 15 years old, right? Like, how would you feel about a man who is a 32-year-old man who is a professional lawyer, and then I'm employing very large, slow air quotes here, who dated that girl, that friend of yours? I said, just roughly speaking, if you can't guess where I'm going with this, how do you feel about that? She's like, that would be really weird. I said, yes. Now, what if he did it with like 4 or 5 different people? And then, like, he thought that was okay because he'd asked their moms. I'm heavily leading this discussion. But she's like, oh, yeah, that's bad.
That's so smart, though. Like, ugh.
But let her discover what's weird about this without me going into a diagram about why you never get in a white van with a clown. Like, let her be the one who realizes the morality and weirdness and complexities and paradoxes of this. Hopefully, to the extent possible. That's the idea. The idea is like to let it be the thing that she figures out to the extent I can be comfortable with that.
That's a very it's ingenious.
Oh, and by the way, also he thinks people like Alex should be illegal. he wants to make Alex and Maddie illegal. How do you feel about that? Not good. Not good, Bob. I like them. I like them. I like their pictures. I'm glad they're together.
Not good, very bad.
What did she say? She said something about how, was it you reminded her of Rachel Maddow? Was that it?
I mean,
it was something really funny.
Like, is it the cats that you always assume are off screen?
I've been sitting on such a good room full of cats picture, just waiting to deploy it for so long, waiting for the right Rachel Maddow moment. But I don't know. It's really hard. It's super difficult with kids because, like, we know what our hangups are. And we know what our genuine and sometimes very well-founded fears are. And, like, sometimes we get ahead of our skis a little bit. Even, like, a really right-thinking, decent person will, like, end up concentrating mostly on passing along a hang-up without a reason for the hang-up rather than trying to provide a rational basis for developing a framework for how you think about things like ethics and morals. That was really funny.
No,
holy shit.
No,
thanks for your money.
This stuff, hey. I love, though, because I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend about, like, how do you talk to your kid? And she just said constantly, because same as you, like, she doesn't want to lead into this gross conversation, but the kid is around a television, not as much as the president, but still. And I just keep thinking, like, how do you...
I joke about this a lot, about a kid's innate sense of justice, especially the justice that they're being denied.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids do have a sense of right and wrong and are galled when that is not addressed. Like, hey, they got 7 M&Ms and I got literally 5 M&Ms. That is wrong. Like, a kid feels that very, very intensely. And so as somebody who's growing up at a time when it does not seem weird at all that any two people can be together if it makes them happy, like, that bugs her, and I'm glad. I'm trying to find my cat food. Oh, I've got it. Here it is.
You can't, can I read a little quote from Roderick on the Line?
Yeah.
Every little kid has an innate sense of justice. Every child has an innate sense of fairness that mostly leans towards them. It's a fairness to them instinct. Very few of us have evolved enough to go, let's make sure everyone got something here. There's definitely a sense of, they got a balloon, that kid got a balloon, this other kid got a balloon, I better have a balloon coming.
Who said that?
You did. You did. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Whenever I hear someone on Twitter, going,
I better have a balloon coming.
Yeah. I know. Whenever I hear someone on Twitter going, meh, that kid got a balloon, and that kid got a balloon. I better have a fucking balloon coming.
Meh.
That's the sound. That's the sound of Twitter. Basically, the entire, if you boiled off all the fucking water, all that would be left of Twitter is this sound.